Welcome to the 2012 Global Convention of Compulsive Eaters Anonymous, HOW, the Gifts of CEA, HOW. My name is Marari, and this is Alice. And the name of the workshop is The Promises. Would you please join us in the serenity prayer? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Compulsive Eaters Anonymous, HOW, is a group of individuals who, through shared experience and mutual support, are recovering from compulsive eating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. CEA, HOW, is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and to carry the message of recovery to those who still suffer. Today, this session is being taped. If you choose to participate in any discussion in this session, you must sign this form that we're passing around, granting Compulsive Eaters Anonymous HOW specific rights in taping your voice. When participating in today's discussion, please remember our cherished tradition of anonymity, remembering not to mention names of people in your share. So thank you for attending our workshop this morning. I am Marari, and my current abstinence is since August 24 of 1997. And Alice, who is walking around the room, her abstinence is from November 25, 2006. So our goal in this workshop is to break down the promises, which could be found in the AA Big Book, pages 83 and 84. We would like to share how each one has manifested in our lives by meditating and pondering on each sentence as a group. We will share our experience and practice, and we would love for you to share your experience and how they have manifested in your lives as well. We are aiming for an interactive workshop, so please feel free to share. However, we'd appreciate that you keep your shares no longer than 2 minutes each. If we have extra time, we will have a question and answer session at the end of the workshop. So all of you have an index card, yes? And on the back of the index card, there's a number. So the person who has the number 1, could you please come up and read your index card to all of us?
Hi, I'm Lisa. I'm a compulsive eater.
Hi.
So happy to be here with all of you today. So,
yeah, okay.
If we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through.
Again, Alice, compulsive eater, and, you know, I was thinking how this promise has, you know, manifested in my life, and I was thinking about this convention, and it was like, there's two things, doing things that I'm not comfortable with, and just things that's contrary to really what I want to do, and I can say doing service Friday and Saturday in the with the raffle, you know, I would rather have been home this entire weekend, but I had so much fun, and that's what happens when I just don't think about it, just do it. And the other is like out of my comfort zone. This is so uncomfortable for me. Where I would normally be would be sitting out there somewhere, probably in the back, and you would never get my eye contact because that means you're going to ask me a question. That's who I was. But what happened to me during my life is I've been sitting on the sidelines. Sitting on the sidelines, not engaging in life, really. And I missed out on a lot of fun, a lot of opportunities to meet people. And I'm just grateful for the promise and my willingness to do things that are uncomfortable to me. And I'm gaining so much more from it. And I probably should have said in the beginning, this is, for me, it's God, it's my higher power, because if I sit and say, I, me, it is not I or me. This is God in my life as never before, and my willingness to do what I need to do to be the best that I can be. So, Lisa, or would you like to share on that promise? You're not obligated to, but if you'd like to share, could you come up to the mic and share?
Okay. Well, Alice, thank you for being so authentic and sharing that, because really I can so relate to what you said and exactly what you said. And I can make myself so wrong in like every situation. So, you know, I am just wrong for not getting up and sharing. I am wrong for all that I've missed out on life. And yet I walk into these rooms, and I went to the meditation meeting this morning, and there is such an amazing energy with this gathering and this group of people that I know that, you know, all of the past is in the past. And, you know, now I get to work on a future with hope, and I am learning tools, you know, to face that future and be out there in life. And that is so perfect. I was sitting there thinking before you called on me to come up here was that, wow, you know, what a great chance. What better chance am I going to get? That it must be a higher power at work to get out there and risk, you know, first, and I really just hate getting up and speaking, but to get out at risk at meetings and know that it's safe, and it's really become a place where I can just be me, flaws and all, and I can just experiment, I can work on the tools and not really have that paralyzing fear of failure. And I see it says, though, that if we are painstaking about this phase, so it doesn't let us off the hook either, that really the tools and the steps and all of the work of this program is there for us to, you know, kind of embrace and work to the best of our ability with the help from our higher power and from this fellowship. So thank you. And thank you for calling on me, because I don't know that I would volunteer to do it on my own. So always room for a little growth.
Thank you. So would anyone else like to share on this premise?
So, okay. Who has number two?
Okay, we'll go to number two.
Come on, yes.
Hey, everybody. My name is Roberta, and I'm a compulsive eater. It's so grateful to be here today. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. Do I get to share on that, or do you guys do that first?
We do that first.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm Arari, and we are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. I think the idea of the promises for me is that if we really look at what we have now, there is so much joy and so much wonderful things. And I think the idea is changing your way and of looking at the things we have. Before program, I used to look at all the deficiencies that were in my life, what I didn't have, what my body didn't look like. And now what I do is I look at the things that I do have, you know, and what my body can do and how I am able to move my body, and the wonderful people that are in my life. And so the new freedom and the new happiness comes from my perspective. How am I looking at my life, you know? And my relationships have changed all because of that. You know, I don't look at all the things you do wrong. I try to look at the things you do right. And I say it. Before, I used to think it and not necessarily say anything, but keep it to myself. But the negative things I would say. And now what I do is, if I see somebody walking down the street and they are cute or they're nice or they smile or something, I just say, hey, you look really nice today. And things change. And that's what the new happiness is. It's just realizing that happiness is today. Happiness is now. And the ability that we woke up this morning, we're able to share this beautiful day together, and we can be present without necessarily eating compulsively, without having that relationship with the food that I used to have, which was a real awful relationship, because the food loved me for 2 seconds, and then it was a horrible situation. And now my food is nourishing, and it makes me happy. And actually, people try to eat my food off of my plate. So, like, attack with the knife if you touch my food. But the new happiness comes from that. So as long as you stay away from my food. No. So thank you very much. And who would like to share on this one?
Hi, Roberta, recovering compulsive eater. Let me just stop this. And sorry. Yeah, no new freedom and a new happiness. You know, I really related yesterday. There's so much. I've gotten such a joy of being here, and I've gone home every day, but I've had a buddy that I said, do you want to do this together? So, you know, it got me here this morning for sure, because I think I would have slept in and not come today. So, but on our way home every day, we've been talking about what we heard throughout the day and things that we just took home with us. And it's just been such a beautiful time all the way around. But the new freedom, new happiness, I think about yesterday, it was shared last night about this disease is progressive, but recovery is progressive too. And I really see the progression and the new freedom, the new happiness that I'm experiencing today is, you know, I want to say beyond my wildest dreams, but I feel like there's so much more ahead for me. But there's definitely a lot of the freedom and the happiness that I am experiencing today because of this program, because I was willing to face my truths, because of what this program taught me or continues to teach me about, you know, living in my truths and finding out what those are. When I first came to these rooms, I had no idea what that was. And, you know, 12 years later, little bit by bit, piece by piece, more is being revealed. And that's where the progression is for me, that I get to see that where I come from and where I am today is so totally different. My life is big today, and my happiness and my serenity and, you know, I don't live in fear anymore. I live such a fear-based life, and that's not even an option for me today. I don't even, you know, I got to think about that where my life was, you know, 12 years ago, and the progression of the new freedom and the new happiness that I have today is just such a gift. And the gratitude that I have today, you know, that negative thinking that I came into these rooms, it came really natural for me. I had both parents that were negative thinkers, and, you know, I get to live in gratitude today. I get to write down gratitudes, and living in those gratitudes, I get to remember that, and they get stronger and stronger, and that negative thinking gets weaker and weaker. It's not that it's all gone, but a good part of it is put aside, and I get to live in a positive world today, and in gratitude. And there's so much gratitude in my life, and even in the midst of what I've done to face my truths, there's been a peace about that. You know, a lot of people tell me I'm brave for things that I've gone through, and you know, I used to say it's just part of what I had to do, but I didn't have to do it. This was a choice. Being in these rooms is a choice for me, and I want to keep coming back and get more and more. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Leanne, compulsive eater.
Hi, Leanne.
We will not regret the past, nor wish to shut the door on it.
This particular problem has made me think about... I am living here. About step number three, decision to turn our life and will over to God. And what it says like that is talks about willingness and self-will. Self-will, I mean, willingness is the key to open up the door, and it's my self-will is what closes it. My self-will, ego, defiance, and all of that stuff. And for me, I don't want to forget the past, but I don't want to live in it again either. And because although when I think of the past, a lot of times I think of a lot of bad things, but there's a lot of good in me that I'm realizing. So, you know, I don't want to forget, to regret or forget the good in me. And for me, with this promise, it means that at this point and early on, there is a foundation, that's my life. Good and the bad, that's the foundation or the platform that I use as my base, and I move forward. I can, it's my choice. I can be willing to just grow and be the best I can be, or I can let that self-will continue to just, you know, keep me from being the best that I can be, and just grateful that I'm just willing. And the beauty of it, if I'm not willing one day and that self-will gets in the way, which it does sometimes, all I have to do is be willing again. And that growth for me, it continues, and God is just good. So that's all I have to say on that one.
Leanne, compulsive eater.
Hi,
you guys. And I really love what you said, Alice, about this step. And I step this part of the promise. And it is kind of fun to look at it like the you know, so there were steps. As I read this, I think about how such a big part of my disease is that black and white thinking, you know. So I'm like, either I'm going to dwell in the past and just beat myself up about it and just keep reviewing it and seeing what I should have, what I could have, what I didn't, what I did, blah, what I said, what he said, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Or I want to just make a clean break and forget all about it and just move forward. And so really it's like, this is talking about the gray area between not regretting the past but not shutting the door on it. So there's my gray, right? So I'm in this where I need to learn the lessons from my past, but I need to also not let it paralyze me to fear and be able to move forward. Because what I do is I look back on the past, I beat myself up about it, I'm in this guilt and regret, and then I can't move forward because I'm thinking into the future, thinking, oh, but you never, well, you know that always, that never works, but you've tried that already. Well, you've... And I feel like, wait. You know, you've been working your programs, you've been writing your steps, you've been doing your inventories. And it's like I have to have that trust. Really, it's trust in myself on the one hand, but really it's having that faith and trust in my higher power. That now, as these new situations come in my life, I'll be able to move through them differently. And I'm taking a big step. I'm going to be moving to a foreign country. And I've lived abroad before, and I'm like, oh, my God, you know, here we go again. And it's like, wait. You know, it's not, it's a moving forward. You know, I'm in program now, and I'm taking my program with me. And so I'm not going to be the same me. So I really am starting to understand this relationship between the past and the present and moving into the future. Thank you for letting me share.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Kathy, and I'm a compulsive eater. And let's see. We will comprehend the word serenity, and we will know a new peace.
I think this is one of my favorite sentences. You know, we will comprehend the word serenity, and we will know peace. Of course, when we go to number five, I'll say this is one of my favorite sentences. But the idea of comprehending the word serenity, because there's glimpses of serenity throughout the day for me, and then some days there isn't. And I know that when I don't live or have serenity or have peace, something is not quite right with my program. Either I'm not connecting with my sponsor, or I'm not doing my steps. That if I do what I'm told to do, which is go to 3 meetings a week, commit my food to my sponsor, connect to my sponsor on a daily basis, talk to people outside of the meetings and people who are in program, it brings a sense of serenity to me because I get to talk my crazy talk with you all, kind of dump it on you guys, and my sponsor, which I feel so bad about. But that gives me serenity and it gives me peace. And I know that this program is not complex. It's a very simple program, but it takes a lot of willingness to do what is there. But I know that if I break down my life before program and now, on a left and right side, there's just so many things that my life has now that I don't give up because of XYZ food, you know. And part of that is the serenity and the peace that I get. So, I mean, I'm not saying that I'm 100% perfect, but I'm a lot better. And I know that I communicate with people in a more serene and a more peaceful way. I'm not the war maker that I used to be. I kind of try to be the peacemaker. So by staying out of the way. So thank you very much. And who would like to share on this? Thank you.
Kathy, compulsive overeater. Thank you for your share. Comprehending the word serenity was just, it never even entered my mind that was a possibility. I didn't realize I didn't have it. I just always identified as being very crazy and messed up. I'm just crazy. And what I find with being an active member in CEA HOW is that by working the steps and using the tools on a regular basis, it removes that insanity, that crazy brain that goes 24/7 for me. I mean, it's going when I fall asleep, and it's there when I wake up, when I'm not really embracing our program. And not to say that I don't have a chattery mind while I'm in program, but it's much, much calmer. It's more easily dealt with because I'm able to reach forward for the tools. And I've been actually doing the questions for the Came to Believe book, and it's all focused on the 11th step and comprehending serenity, you know. And I just have to say that I'm really like making a commitment this weekend with being here that I truly am going to take time daily to just breathe, take time to be quiet and try to know who my higher power is, because that's where my serenity comes. I can stay very active in the steps, the tools, the phone calls, the sponsor, the running to this meeting and that meeting, and all those things are necessary for me, but there's a portion that I tend to turn away from, and that's just being quiet. It doesn't come natural because, God forbid, I should hear maybe something that's really going on in my head instead of just allowing it to be crazy chatter. So anyway, that's kind of the message I got this weekend, is I need to make a commitment to take time and just be. Thank you very much.
Good morning, Jean, compulsive eater.
Hi, Jean.
No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others.
Alice, again, compulsive eater. And this particular promise, sorry. I won't feel better. This particular promise, you know, I'll say it again, reminds me of a step, which is step 5. Step 5? Okay. Which is admitted to God the exact nature of our wrongs. And it was such a good feeling, first of all, to be able to share with God and another person all the wrong that I finally realized that I had been doing to myself and to others for so many years, all that pent-up emotion and everything else. It just was a good. And it was such a weight that was lifted. And it's not, when I say weight, it's not the weight that you see on the scale. It's that weight that was in my chest, preventing me from sleeping, going to the doctor because of this, and it was nothing wrong. It was just all this stuff that was inside of me that I didn't even know existed until I came into these rooms. And even with that, until I was willing to see me the way I saw me, and also the way other people saw me, and that was even more hurtful than for me seeing the way I saw me. And for the longest, I didn't believe I have a story, but, you know, I have a story, just like any one of us in this room, we have a story to share that someone else can shake their heads and they agree with what you're saying. And that's kind of like, no matter how far down the scale we are gone, we will see how our experience have benefited others. And I can see it, and it's not the scale. And the key to this part for me is it's not the scales that the weight is. That was just in the beginning. Later on, it's the scales, the weight that keeps me from living or keeps me from living life. So thanks.
I think for me, and of course the weight issue is important, and that's what brought me into the room. You know, I lost 45. I actually lost my weight real fast. Within 4 months, I had lost all my weight. And people that knew me when I was heavy, you know, saw the transformation. But people that meet me now, they have no clue that I had been, you know, a pretty heavy person. So the idea of how far the scale we have gone, and you know, of course, in my mind, I could go down a lot more, but then I'd be a little tiny, tiny person. I know that my experience, because when I talk to people, I'm like, oh, I know how that is. You know, I know how the relationship that I have with food. And then, you know, sometimes people who are very heavy, they're like, oh, okay, you kind of understand because I can talk the food talk. So although I don't have the physical weight that I had, it's still, I know and I remember. And I think being in these rooms, I can definitely, you know, I talk the way we talk, you know, which is it's a different way than people who don't have a food problem. You know, it's like I know people that just serve themselves quantities that I have to weigh and measure, but they do it naturally, and I don't comprehend that. But that's how they are, you know. And it boggles my mind, and I just let it go. But I can talk to go to a meeting and kind of say, I can't believe this person just left. You know, half of that. But the physical recovery is wonderful. But I know that being of service, like we are today, you know, is how we can see that our experience can benefit others. You know, so would anybody like to share on this?
Good morning again, Gene, compulsive eater. I'm a new guppy fish in program. Been here 3 years. I lost a lot of weight when I first started 3 years ago, about 140 pounds. People come up to me and they say, wow, you know, you look different. And as I continued program and working the steps and tools, I found that I was actually refilling the weight that I lost with program, with the knowledge. And as people, for them to benefit, I had to keep my mouth shut, sit next to them, and I said, we like the new you, but there's something missing. And I can tell what's missing is I need more program inside anymore. I need to refill that with program. And isolation kicks in all the time because I feel being new, I don't know as much as everybody else, and the fear sets in. So with that fear, you know, I can easily go back up again, but I remember, you know, when you learn something, you don't forget it. And I've learned a lot. And that's all I got. Thank you.
Thank you. So who has number 6?
Hi, I'm Ruby, a compulsive eater.
Okay.
And number 6 is that feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear.
uselessness and self-pity. Gosh, I have no feeling of that now. I think the idea of uselessness, God, can any of you be useless? Not at all. You know, it's like if we have working limbs and a working mind, we can't be useless. We're so useful. And I think we all have particular gifts. And for me, using those gifts to the service of others is the best way that I can feel better. And self-pity, I can't be in self-pity if I'm in service. You know, if I'm alone at home, just watching television, then I can be in self-pity because I start focusing on what I don't have, and I haven't lost the 20 pounds, and I don't have this wonderful job, and I don't have this wonderful husband or my kids, blah, blah, blah. But if I'm in service, I start seeing, you know, if other people don't have what I have, you know, I think I have a car and my car is working, and somebody who doesn't have a car, if they need a ride and you give them a ride, that idea of being of service gets you out of that self-pity. And that's the beauty of this program, is that we are in service every day. How do we do this? 30 days out of program, you're a sponsor. And you're like, I don't know how to do this, so we just kind of help each other out because all of us have done it the same way. The first 30 days, we got helped by somebody who was working in service and giving what they knew of the program. And our job is to reciprocate and do that for somebody else, you know. And I have two sponsees. I have one sponsee who has been with me for a while. I've had experiences with other sponsees who had been with me for a long time, and things have changed, and they're now doing something else. But, you know, I'm just a stone to be stepped on and help that person get on to wherever they're supposed to go. And the same idea, I'm extremely grateful for the people that have given me service. My first sponsor, who is no longer in program, gave her time and attention and did my first, you know, third step ceremony with me, which I can't ever forget, and that was of service. You know, so I think anything that we can do, timing, any time that we can go to a meeting and just volunteer, that gets us out of that self-pity, and we are definitely not useless. So would anybody like to share on this?
I'm Helen. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm grateful to be here today. I've been listening to the promises, and I've been in the rooms for many years, and I couldn't help but think about being the victim, because I was always the victim. I was the victim of life. I was the victim of God. I was the victim of you. I was the victim everywhere I looked. I was the victim. And because I was the victim, I had nothing to give anybody. I really never thought of anybody else other than me and my own misery. When I came into the rooms, they told me, you're not a victim. You're a good person, and you can do for others. And I was like, what? And I remember when I sponsored, for me that was astronomical. And for the first year of sponsoring, I couldn't step anybody up. Nobody got 30 days. And let me tell you, and everybody was stepping everybody up except me. And I sat down and I, what's wrong and what am I not doing? And I took it on myself as the victim. And what I got to see through my sponsor was that it's not about me. And that's what I got to see, because before everything was about me. It was not about anybody else. Everything was a reflection of me. And it was not about me, it was about them and their willingness and their readiness for the program. I can only give what I do. I can't make anybody do what they don't want to do. And that's the bottom line. And so that promise, that feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear, it has. The program has brought that for me. I'm free of that for today. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Pamela. I'm a compulsive eater.
Hi, Pamela.
And number seven, we will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows.
Thank you. Alice, again, compulsive eater. You know, this promise here, it just reminded me of the difference in humility and self-centeredness. And when I lose interest in selfish things, that was that self-centeredness that was in me. I knew better. I control. These are all things that I didn't realize when I first came into these rooms, but I was a control person. You do it my way, or you just do it. There was no or. You do it my way. And then after a period of time, the gain interest in others, that was when, like, really the step seven, the humility, really came in. Because it's a process. You know, the promises, it's all a process. And when I got here, I could really, really see that it was not about me. It was like God, my Howe family working my program every day that allowed me to be willing to do the service, and as I mentioned earlier, doing things that were not comfortable for me, but just do it. And for me, it's not even thinking about it a lot. Just do it, and that's that humility. You know, humbly asking God to remove all these shortcomings, these character defects, and stuff that just they come up every now and then. But the beauty of this promise here, it reminds me that when they come up, they don't stay long, because I'm aware, and I want to lose this interest in selfish things and really be there for my fellows, as so many of the fellows, as they call it, have been there for me. So thanks.
Yes.
Would you like to share, please?
They couldn't hear my finger right.
Good morning. My name is Pamela. I'm a compulsive eater. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. So the first thing I thought when I got this is, oh boy, my favorite colors. You know? Not like, what does it say? You know, oh boy, my favorite colors. I want to thank both of you for providing this for us this morning, because that exemplifies unselfishness, doing service, and also great examples of working the program, stepping outside our comfort zones and in order to do service and to be unselfish, and I appreciate that. I'm amused. I go to some book studies meetings and 12 and 12 meetings, and we read one paragraph and then we share on the paragraph and go around the room. And I'm always amused because everybody reads their paragraph and they go, oh, I can't believe I got this paragraph. It's just exactly about me. And I'm always so amused because, of course, everything's about me. You know, every paragraph. And so when I got this and I got over the colors and I actually read it, and saw we will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows, I thought, this is perfect for me. I can't believe it. Because I often share about how selfish I am. And so it is absolutely perfect for me. And our whole program is built upon the premise of losing myself, you know, and giving to others. It's a program of ego deflation, losing myself. And I think page 62 in the big book is one of my favorite quotes, selfishness, self-centeredness, that we believe is the root of all our problems. And I believe that so much. So many of my character defects, I can give different names, but they all are based in selfishness and self-centeredness. You know, I used to say when I came into these rooms how morbidly shy I was when I was in my late teens, early 20s. I was so shy. And, of course, I thought that meant I was so sensitive, which really means I'm so self-centered and narcissistic. But so I was so shy. And then I realized shyness is really a form of pride. You know, what are you thinking about me? It's all about me. And another example in this program of not thinking about me. And another line I love from the big book is, love and tolerance of others is our code. Love and tolerance of others. And again, we will lose interest in the selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. So I'm really pleased I got this. And I was also thinking as I was listening to everybody, and thank you all for your insights, I was thinking as I was listening that the promises come in the ninth step. And that's, you know, as everything else in the big book and in our program, nothing is by accident. I need to clean house, you know, which we do. I need to believe in a higher power and lose some of my ego before I can, before the promises will come true to me. And that happens in step nine. So thank you.
Good morning, Barbara, compulsive eater. I have promise eight. Self-seeking will slip away.
Was just shared in MRR, and I'm a compulsive eater again. And again. The idea of self-seeking, and that's, before I started program, I used to want my name on a spotlight, you know, and I wanted people to know who I was, and that was the driving force in a lot of things that I used to do. And now in my life, it's not really that. I'm doing things that are big, but not necessarily, the focus of it is not so that you know who I am. And I have been part of committees and conferences and planning where there's a lot of egos going on. And because of this program, the ego, or my ego, has been reduced, or had been reduced, or was reduced then, to a place where I could participate in group activities and not create more problems than there were. And, you know, a perfect example of self-seeking will slip away is today. My grandma's 80th birthday party is tonight, well, this afternoon. And she practices a religion that I don't necessarily practice, but because it's her birthday, they're going to have service for her. So in another time, I would have said, no, that's not what I want. This is not, I don't like this. I'm not going to participate in this. But now in my life, I know that going to this party is for my grandmother. And I'm going to go in service of love. And I'm going to be present and participate. I'm not going to be, you know, bitter or showing that I'm not happy to be there. I'm going to be there with a joyful heart because my grandmother is celebrating her 80th birthday. And that's how I function now. I sometimes, you know, people who I know have lost people and they've had funerals and not necessarily a fun thing to go to, but I know that a funeral is, you go to the funeral to be of service to the person who you love, the surviving person, you know. And so that's the part where self-seeking will slip away. I do things now not because it's for me, but I see the bigger picture. And sometimes being somewhere where I don't want to be is the right thing. So thank you. And who would like to share on this? Would you like to share?
Hi, I'm Barbara, compulsive eater. And yes, this is a wonderful promise for me because, boy, I love thinking about myself. I can just start in the morning and just keep on going all day long, you know, my goals, my achievements. But the truth is, I'm afraid. I'm afraid to connect. I'm afraid that even when I'm with people, I mean, I know when I'm with people, if I'm comfortable connecting and if I'm agitated and I want to get out of that picture. This program, you know, once I was able to surrender to it and enjoy it, I just have to back up to one of our tools, our outreach calls, and calling my sponsor in the morning. Those are such good starts for me. And I have not called my sponsor yesterday or today. Yesterday was a physical situation, and today she said, oh, you'll be at the meditation meeting. You can't call. So it was with permission. But they're such good starts for me. And, you know, at this point, I have made friends around the country, and I have friends, maybe, I mean, not tons, but certainly five that I check in with on a regular basis, and it's such a terrific backup. And, you know, as this program encourages me to expand and try new activities and even become more involved within this program, it gets scary, and I think, well, you know, the black and white of me is, oh, how am I going to sort that out? What should I volunteer to do? How's this going to work out? You know, it brings me back to my higher power. And to let me know my higher power is working, I so love the surprises during this conference. You know, not only the people I meet, but I actually learned how to load a picture on my phone and set it up so the person that's calling me, I can see their picture. You know, sweet little surprises. So I just so enjoy this program and all of you. And I have to say, those vegetables look so good on all of us. Thank you.
Number 90.
I'm Danae, compulsive eater.
Hi, Danae.
Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change.
I was compulsive eater again, and this promises I just went to step 9, making the amends, and you know, and I, the amends really, really helped me, and I made a lot of them, but the ones that helped me the most where I can really see in this promise are the ones I made to my son and his wife. Because to my son, today I can see the man he's becoming. Before that, I could not because I took care of him. I took care of everything. I can see the relationship that happens, that is really growing between my husband, my son and his wife, because I don't allow him to come to me with his problems. They go to each other and they discuss it. and they discuss it. So that my whole attitude and outlook upon life changed because willing to look at myself, see my faults, want to change it, because after all the harm that I did, and I know I did a lot of them, they still love me. I get to see that. And that just makes me want to do even more of just staying out of the way when I have an opinion. Normally sleep on it if I can, and the next day it normally is not that important. And I just want to be happy and live a carefree, stress-free life. And if possible, when I just work my program, stay out of other people's business, let them live their lives, and let me try to live mine to the best that I can. So that's how I see this one. Thank you. So would someone else want to share on step 9?
I'm Lois. I'm a grateful recovering compulsive eater from Dallas, Texas. I love this one. I picked one. I mean, I'm going to be reading one in a minute. But one of the things is that the steps that we're referring to are just like Pamela said from the 9th step. And there are so many promises. I mean, the promises were from the 9th step. There's so many promises all throughout the big book. In fact, I want to read one from step 12. And it says, this is on the first page of step 12. It says, when a man and a woman has a spiritual awakening, the most important meaning of it is that he has now become able to do and feel and believe, which he could not do before on his unaided strength and resources alone. And that's page 106 and 107 and then 12 and 12. And, you know, I mean, this whole program is not my nature. None of it. It is not my nature to do anything. So it's that unabated, it's the strength through a higher power. And, you know, my outlook on life's totally changed. So thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. I'm still Helene, a compulsive eater. Fear of people. I didn't put my glasses on. Fear of people.
Bigger here.
Oh. Fear of people and economic insecurity will leave us.
And I'm Marari, a compulsive eater. And fear of people. I had an experience this Thursday where I was leaving one of our meetings. It was a meditation meeting, and there was a homeless person going through the trash and stuff. And he made eye contact, and he was like, can I talk to you for a second? And I was like, sure. You know, so he was telling me things, and I'm like, okay, I'll give him a dollar. So I pulled out $3 from my pocket, and he's like, I want to buy a certain food item. And I'm like, I can only give you a dollar because I got to go to parking and I need $2. And he was like, what's your name? And I said, my name's Marari. And he was like, I don't care about the money. Let's just talk. And I just thought, you know, the idea of fearing people, I see people as people, you know, souls. And all of us have a story. And I think when we just sit down and just give someone enough time to share their experience, there's something we connect with them. I mean, we could look different on the outside. We can have different colors, different experiences, but something usually connects. And I think this program has shown me exponentially how that is. When I started program, I was like one of the only Latinas in the room. And I was just like, I want what you guys have, and I don't care how you look, just tell me what you're doing because I want to lose the weight, you know. And so I think the fear of people has been a blessing. The idea of going into an interview and talking to people is the same thing. I think it's part of the humility. It's like I know that humility is not I'm less than. Humility is I'm equal to. So if I'm equal to you, I'm never going to be fearful of you. So I'm neither better nor worse, but I'm at the same plane, you know. So talking to a person who's interviewing me, talking to a homeless person, we're on the same level. And the idea of economic insecurity, I think this is one thing that I've been working on a lot. And I've been in program almost 15 years, and I tell my sponsor that it's going to be my quinceañera. You know? So, and if you don't know what a quinceañera is, in Latin culture, a quinceañera, you know, when girls turn 15, they wear this big dress, big party and stuff. So I told her I was going to wear a tiara. No, but the idea, you know, in 15 years, I've had some career changes, and I'm going through a huge transition right now where I'm leaving a profession that I had at a specific location for 15 years, and now I'm moving into something else. And all of that has happened as a result of this program. And the idea of it happening so effortlessly is because I've stepped out of the way. It's kind of just having the faith that God has a plan for me. And somebody in a meeting before said that life before program was a room with one window, and life with program is a room full of windows. And that's what this is. Program has let the light in for me, and I am seeing different ways of being. And the economic insecurity is there sometimes, but mostly I know I'm okay. You know, I went skydiving and I jumped off of a plane, and I was like, if something's supposed to happen, it's supposed to happen. I'm going to be in faith, you know. So it's walking in faith. And I always tell my sponsees, walk in faith, don't walk in fear. And that's where the insecurity goes away. So would anybody like to share on this?
I'm still Helen. I've been the most fearful person that I have ever seen. And I was afraid of everything. And it's so interesting that I would get this, because when I first saw this promise, I misread it. And I thought that fear of people and economic insecurity will leave us. I thought that I was going to get a check. In my mind, I mean this. That economic insecurity was going to leave me because I was going to get money. And it was a couple of years before I really got it straight. And I got it straight from sharing, people sharing about it and saying, no, no, that's not what's going to happen. What's going to happen is your fear about it is going to go. And that's been the truth, because I'm safe. I'm safe because I'm with God, and I'm going to get exactly what I need. And my other disease that I have is not enough, and the disease of needing more. And so my fear of people was always about not good enough. And if you looked at me, there had to be something wrong with me. And it was like, what are you looking at? What's wrong? It was never. And a friend said it to me many, many years ago. Can it be that maybe they're looking at you because you look good? Because that thought never entered my mind. And today, I have no fear of people. I'll go over and I'll introduce myself, and I'll ask people, is it okay for me to sit with you? And because I'm no longer afraid of the rejection. And I don't take it personally. And for me, there used to be this ad, you've come a long way, baby. It's the truth. I've come a long way, and I see my improvement. I don't see perfection, but I see my improvement. I see my changes, and the promises do come true. Thank you.
Number 11. Does anybody have number 11? Thank you.
I'm Nancy, and I'm a compulsive eater.
Hi, Nancy.
We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us.
Alice, compulsive eater, and this promise is not up there. Situation that used to baffle us, and that's like through love and seeking God's help, and through prayer and meditation,
to improve my conscious contact with God. That was it. Daily, this promise works for me only because daily I seek God's help. In the mornings, not just in the mornings, throughout the day. And at the, I'm not 100% on it, but at the end of the day, I try to review my day to see if I owe anybody anything. You know, I've said or I've done something that I may need to make an amends for, and the willingness to do it. So the things that used to baffle me when I'm, you know, in prayer and meditation, it doesn't the way, because I know I'm not out there alone. It's not my job to fix everything alone. I have somewhere to go. I can go to God. I have reading. I have a whole program. This promise lets me know that I'm just not out there. There is so much that I can do. You know, I can make a phone call or I can go to a meeting that to make me, I keep saying it, be the best that I can be. And that's, for me, what these promises are all leading up to for me. Just, you know, with God's help. Because I said earlier, this I, me, me stuff is not me. It's God's helping me to be the best that I can be. So thanks.
I'm Nancy. I'm a compulsive eater.
Hi, Nancy.
When I came back into these rooms 16 years ago, I was still working. I'm retired now. And slowly but surely, some of these promises and the mottos started to sink in. And this was one of them. And when I went into work, I would take the next indicated step. And that relieved me of so much pressure on my shoulders. And these are the things that used to baffle me when I went into work. What should I do first? So it was like magic for me, having these mottos and these promises come true, and they made my life so much easier. And 16 years later, I'm retired, and I still let my life unfold, and it's made a huge difference in my life. Thank you.
My name is Loretta. I'm a compulsive eater. We suddenly realized that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves.
Thank you. I'm Rari, and on the back of your card, you have a number. If for some reason we don't have that number, if we can have volunteers read it, but we need you to sign that release form because this is being audiotaped. The word suddenly, popped out for me. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. For me, it wasn't suddenly. It took time. I'm getting through a period of time where there were consecutive deaths in my husband's family, and it was a challenging time. And I know that through the grace of this program and my sponsor and meetings, I was able to get through all of that because I kept on getting refocused on there is a reason for all of this. This is happening for a specific reason. And you don't know it right now, but just have faith that whatever is happening right now is going to help you grow. There's something here. And on a daily basis, that's kind of what I try to do. I try to see, okay, what is it in today's lesson that I can take to be better? And sometimes it was a realization that my behavior or my words or my thinking was not right. And at the end of the day, I just kind of, you know, reconnected to my higher power and just let it go, you know. And that's the idea. And my sponsor has a quote that she says often to me, and I think about it. It's just, you know, it is what it is. It is what it is, but I don't want it to be. It is what it is. You know, so I can be I can throw a little temper tantrum for a minute, you know, and then move on. And just know that God is doing for me what I could not do for myself. And God has a lot of faith in me because he's thrown a lot of challenges my way. And people say, you know, God doesn't give you what you cannot handle. And I'm like, grrr. But because of that, because of the challenges that I have had, I'm able to be of service again. You know, it's like, okay, I talk to someone who's had that experience, I'm like, hey, I had that experience, you know. And if they want to hear it, I share my experience with it. And if they don't, I just listen, you know. And I know that sometimes we just need to vent, you know. But for me, that's what it is. God is doing for me what I could not do for myself. And that is so wonderful. People might see it as a crutch, but I see it as a life companion. You know, I'm never alone. And when I can't reach somebody that I want to talk to, I know I can get down on my knees and just pray and meditate and just listen. And I think someone in this room says, you know, that praying is talking to God and meditating is listening. And I've had some realizations when I meditate. And now I can actually meditate. When I started program, I couldn't. My mind is just moving so fast. And now I go to this Thursday meeting, and we sometimes meditate for 20 minutes, and I can actually do it. So I'm like, good job, Rory. So progress. I don't know if I can do an hour, but I can do 20 minutes. So thank you. And would anybody like to share on number 12? Thank you.
My name is Larissa. I'm a compulsive eater. And I know that I now realize that God is doing for me what I could not do for myself. Today, I am not compulsively eating. And I could not do that myself. I could not stop eating. And one day at a time, my higher power gives me abstinence. And it's a gift, and I know it's a gift. You know, that's a truly gift from God. So I know that I now realize this, that God is doing for me what I could not do for myself, and I don't want it any other way, because you do not want Larissa's way. You want God's way. Thanks.
Thank you. And number 13.
Hi, I'm Michelle. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Michelle.
Number 13. Are those extravagant promises?
Alice, compulsive eater. You know, are the extravagant promises?
Oh, hold on a second.
Ready,
you guys?
Oh. Oh, my God. And I agree. They are not. I can go on. I'm sitting here having fun. And if you noticed in the beginning how much fun I had yesterday, I didn't use the word fun today because it was starting, but I am enjoying being so out of my comfort zone up here with people that care about me there, because we're all family. This is a good family here. Not always like the family that I grew up with. And just, you know, to me, these promises, like the steps, is designed. You know, you just get a little bit, little bit, little bit, little bit, and it just builds to here, to this question. No, they all work if I am willing to do whatever work that needs to be done. To be the best that I can be, stay out of people's way, be of service, just, you know, just to grow, accept my past as what it was, as the foundation to just, you know, build from, because I can't use your foundation, which may have been better than mine. I have to just use my own foundation just to go. And the sky is the limit here. And that's it. Just how much am I willing to work? And the beauty of this, too, in these promises, you don't have to be perfect. You fall one day, just get up the next day and keep going. Thanks. Would someone else like to share on that? Promise. Would you like to share on that?
Sure.
Thank you.
I'm Michelle again.
Hello.
Still a compulsive overeater. When I came in the program, I thought that they were extremely extravagant promises. I thought that it was... I wasn't convinced it wasn't a cult or there wasn't something weird going on with the weirdos that I met. But for today, I can tell you, no, they're definitely not extravagant promises. In fact,
I'm convinced that there's not, that maybe they're not extravagant enough. You know, that I came here to lose weight and I got so much more. The idea that all I wanted to do was lose weight and then just run away has since left me. And now all I want to do is keep working my program and love the people that are in this program and outside of this program and spread the word, because I'm on fire for this program. And it's in my heart. And the changes inside me have been just over the top. And not the physical changes, in spite of the fact I've lost 95 pounds or so. But the changes inside my attitude, the changes inside my life, the things that I've gained inside and out are just amazing. So I have God and all of you to thank for this program and for my success. Thank you.
Thank you.
Number 14.
Richard, compulsive eater. Morning. They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly.
Yes, thank you. I'm Arari, and the idea of the promises, you know, the reason why we decided to make this workshop on the promises is that usually at the end of the meeting we have a choice of three readings, you know, and when people read the promises, it's just a little paragraph, and then it's over, you know. And we wanted to meditate on each particular sentence because, as you have seen and as you have heard, these promises are being fulfilled. And it doesn't have to be the huge, gigantic things that I used to think about, but it's the tiny little things. It's having a lap of physical recovery. You know, it's like when I used to walk, I used to chafe my legs because my legs were chunky. And all of a sudden, when I had been losing weight, I put something on my lap and something went through. And I was like, hello, my legs are not rubbing against each other anymore. You know, so it's like those little tiny physical things, or being able to fit in a seat. And I think I was 9 months in program, and I went on a cruise. And cruises are just not necessarily the best thing people think. But this program is so portable. And if you're willing to do it, I mean, wherever you go, you can do it. I've traveled abroad. I've gone to internationally. And I've been able to stay abstinent. And, you know, plan to fail, is that the word? And I've been able to experience, like I said, I went skydiving, I rode a horse, you know, which for me, I could not imagine doing because I used to think I'm going to break this horse, poor horse. And my horse's name was Romeo, by the way, had a little mustache. But the idea of these promises, they could be teeny tiny little ones where you stay quiet instead of reacting to somebody who's saying something. To a big one, you know, which is, you know, getting a new job or, you know, being abstinent through a pregnancy. And I know that there's people that can do that. So it's just an amazing program. And I think the idea of the promise is to stopping and looking and counting our blessings. And what my program sponsor does is she tells me to write three gratitudes a day. And every day I write three gratitudes, and every day I share them with her. First thing in the morning, my food and my three gratitudes. And guess what happens? My day shifts. If I woke up in the morning feeling like crap, after the three gratitudes are done, I'm like, oh, do I only give you three? You know, and sometimes I can only give two, and then I have to go for the sun. I'm grateful for the sun, you know, but always three gratitudes, and always it changes my perception and my attitude. And then I'm a much happier person, and people like me better. And not everybody does, but I'm okay with that. So would anybody like to share on that? Thank you.
Richard, compulsive eater. And this is great. This is a great exercise of breaking down the promises a sentence at a time. It's true, you know, these promises are being fulfilled. Who I am today as an individual is just so different from when I came into these rooms almost 10 years ago. And you know, aside from the physical, because for us guys, the physical goes quick. I was over 350, 350 pounds, and I just shrank. And I know I lost a lot of eating buddies during those first few months in program. They were, because it just wasn't the same anymore. And I became a reminder to them of where they're at. And so my life started changing immediately. And that's one of the promises that came quickly. The ones that seem to take longer, I've noticed, are the promises that have to do with the reduction of my ego. Why are they so painstaking? Why are they so slow? Why am I still so self-seeking? But these are the areas where I need the most work. And they're the ones that I have the biggest ego in and the biggest trouble letting go and letting God take care of those. So, you know, this is one of those things. And my whole life, you can attribute this to almost every aspect of life. You know, I have this son who had some challenges. He couldn't speak, and he was supposed to be speaking by this age. And that was a slow one. But then it came and went. You know, we went out, we were open, we got a solution, and we started working, and just all this work. And I look at him today, and he's amazing. But then part of me is like, where did it go? It's so fast. I want that part of it to slow down. So you can easily attribute this to all kinds of areas of life. And, you know, it's just, I just love this program. Thank you.
And number 15. Last but not least.
My name is Lois. I'm a grateful recovering compulsive eater. They will always materialize if we work for them.
I was compulsive eater. And, you know, that's what I had down here, work for it. Also, it's like with all of these promises, I have to remember to be kind to myself. Because when I'm not kind to me, I can get into a negative downward spiral that could impact not only the promises, but a lot of other things in my life. The relationships that I have with other people. I just have to be kind to me. And, you know, to me, that's about all I have to say on this one, because it is work. And enjoy it. Find fun. For me, I look for peace, calm, serenity every day. That is one of the best things that I've done for myself, because I'm normally a stressful person, and it relieves so much of the stress. So, thanks. Does anybody else want to share on this?
Hi, I'm Suzanne. I'm a compulsive eater. And, yeah, I was reading this. It always materializes if we work for them. When I came in the program, I didn't know what I was getting myself into here, you know. I just wanted to lose the weight, and I was feeling really miserable about myself. And a couple of months into the program, I was asked to lead a meeting, and I was really very scared to do that, because there was someone there that I really respected, and I was afraid to speak in front of them. And when it was done, this person came up to me and said, "Oh, you know, you're living the promises, you know." And I'm going, "What is this person talking about? You know, I mean, I'm only in the program for a couple months, you know." And now it's over 3 years, and the promises are really working for me, but it doesn't come without a lot of work on myself, staying in service, connecting when I don't want to connect, doing things out of my comfort zone, which
I've done a lot, and but then the promises come one day at a time, and it's just so beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you. So we hope that this exercise has given you a new appreciation for the 12 steps, since, as you can see, working the 12 steps gives you the promises and the idea of working for them. It's not going to happen just automatically. We have to work for these promises for them to manifest. And we wish to thank those who shared today. The requirements of CEA How are what this particular group has found to be effective in working this program. The opinions expressed here today by those who shared are our own and not necessarily those of Compulsive Eaters Anonymous How as a whole. Thank you for being here and for participating in your recovery. After a moment of quiet meditation, those who wish to, please join us in the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thank you. And please remember, on a final note, it works if you work it. Let go and let God. And thank you for being with us today.